Hey guys, my name is Sharad. I am the host of the Recently podcast. I have the honor of having Ron Angel on our podcast today. Really looking forward to it. Ron, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Sharad. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I know we had to reschedule once, so I apologize for that. But
no worries at all.
Excited to have you. Yeah, Ron, Same. Let's just get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're joining in from. What do you do? How did you get into real estate?
Yeah, sounds good. So I live on Long Island, New York, and I do real estate in multiple markets. Currently, I'm flipping in North Carolina with a partner, in Michigan with another partner. I'm doing a couple of projects in Florida with a third partner. Primarily, where I'm spending most of my time is working with REI Junkies as the director of marketing, and we're really focusing on the Pathway to Home Ownership program there.
I'd love to learn more about that, but before we do that, how did you get into real estate?
Yeah, great question. So in my initial foray into real estate was right after I left the military. So I was in the U.S. Army and I got out back in 2006. And my wife was still in the military and she got sent to Fort Stewart, Georgia. And we bought our first house there, kind of knowing that we would keep it as a rental. So in the military, because you're moving around a lot of people will go from duty station to duty station and just buy a house. And then when they leave, they'll leave it behind, rent it out, and then just do it again and do it again. So by the time you're done with a 20-year career, you end up with about 20 houses and it kind of supplements your retirement. So I always knew about that strategy. And that was kind of the idea when we bought that house, we were always planning to rent it out. So that was the beginning.
All right. First of all, thank you so much for your service, man.
Of course.
Yeah. So you got started with that, you know, being in armed forces, and then you bought your first property. Then, you know, how did you get from there to, you know, what you're doing with REI Junkies now?
Yeah, absolutely. So after I got out of the military, so we bought that house and I went back to college to finish my degree. I did a bachelor's in computer science. So I was a software engineer and I went into the tech industry. About a year after we bought the first one, or a year and a half, we bought another one. So we had two rental properties and that was kind of it as far as real estate for a while. And so I started my career in tech. My wife finished her service and she went back to get another degree in nursing and she became a nurse. And we just went about our lives, you know, just kind of working our W-2 jobs. I was moving up in the tech industry. I was, you know, the whole corporate career, promotions, all that kind of stuff. And I didn't really do much more in real estate for a long time until it was COVID. COVID changed a lot for us. I mean, at the time I was working in the city in New York City. So living on Long Island, it's about an hour and a half commute each way. And COVID, you know, we had all the lockdowns. I started working from home and got to spend a lot more time with the family and realized that really they're the reason I'm doing all this. I mean, I always told myself that, but I got to experience that a lot more and having, you know, spending a lot more time with the kids, with them, you know, doing their schooling from home and I'm working from home. I realized that I wanted to make a change. I wanted to get out of my corporate career. And that's what really, you know, kind of lit the flame and looking for a way to go into real estate full time, or at least to get out of my corporate job.
And then, so it's very, you know, relatively speaking, a very recent for you that you kind of just went full speed into, full time into real estate. And you said you're the marketing director at REI Junkies.
Yeah, so that kind of evolved over time. So, you know, when I left my corporate career, I initially became a wholesaler. I was wholesaling in Raleigh, North Carolina, and all of Wake County. And so I did that for about a year and some change. That was in 2022.
All during COVID,
right? So it was all virtual. I don't think we were, you know, just about everything was still virtual. I think we were coming out of lockdowns by that point. The company I had left, I think everybody was still working virtually until maybe the middle of 2022. But at any rate, I did wholesaling virtually. So I started marketing with direct mail. I added cold calling. I did some SMS, PPC, a lot of different things. And it was a bit rocky, right? It took me a few months to get my first deal. It took me about 5 months to close my first deal. It was a really nice one, I ended up doing about 10 deals by the end of 2022. But then when the market shifted in September, If you recall, like interest rates were going up, my buyer pool dried up. I had to cancel a bunch of contracts and I had to let some staff go. I grew a little bit too fast. I grew way too fast, to be honest. And so I had to let some staff go and kind of take a step back and retool and figure out what was I going to do. And eventually, you know, through my mastermind, I was working with Von Bethel. He was one of my coaches. And he was actually, I was in his coaching program specifically, and he, working with him and the other people in that group, I realized that I wanted to move kind of away from wholesaling, not kind of, like I wanted to move away from wholesaling and go into things like capital raising and maybe multifamily. And so Vaughn actually brought me on to do capital raising for him, for REI Junkies, to help with bringing in private money for our Pathway to Home Ownership program, which I'd love to talk more about in detail. But that's kind of how I got my start with REI Junkies. Eventually that role grew into a full director of marketing role. So I did kind of moved away from the day-to-day capital raising and more into marketing for, I did the direct to seller marketing. I run that entire operation, marketing for buyers, marketing for investors, the brand building, all that stuff. So that's my role there now. And also along the way on my own business, moving away from wholesaling, I moved towards like a flipping kind of operation with a partnership model where I'm the capital raiser, money guy, systems and processes, bookkeeping, all that stuff. And each of my partners is boots on the ground, you know, managing contractors, managing the rehabs. And that's okay. Basically where I find myself now.
So that's what you're doing. And you said Michigan and North Carolina, you have a couple of flips going Correct. On. So you're Correct. Basically bringing the money, and then you have local boots on the ground doing the day-to-day stuff.
Exactly. So my partner is the boots on the ground in each of those partnerships. Got and it. So they're doing the day-to-day managing.
Is the split 50-50 or it depends on the deal?
It depends on the partnership.
Got it. Okay. And then, so for REI Junkies, you said you're doing a Pathway to Home Ownership program.
So REI Junkies has a really unique model. We have an acquisitions company. So we do the direct to seller marketing. We do assignments, you know, double closes, all that stuff. We also will close on some properties and put them in our rental portfolio. But the primary mission of the company is our Pathway to Home Ownership program. So what we do is we buy properties, fix them up, and then sell them on owner finance terms to end buyers. And this is to people that wouldn't normally be able to qualify for a traditional bank loan, either because they don't have established credit, or they have a blip in their credit, or they don't have, you know, good W-2 income, but they run a cash business. So they're able to afford the mortgage, but banks don't want to work with them. And so those are our target end buyers. So the reason we call it the Pathway to Home Ownership is because we're serving as a bridge to allow them to purchase these properties and start building their, you know, their generational wealth. And over time, ideally, to be able to refi us out into a much better rate, and so that they can continue on that journey. And then we can go and do it again.
So your initial acquisition process is the same, right? You're doing the same direct to seller marketing.
Correct.
But your exit is a little bit different. And how many of those are you doing, like, per month, per year?
I want to say we did 15 in the last 6 months or so. So far in the company, we've done about 29, 30. That's Our fantastic. Goal is to do 500 by the end of 2026.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. So tell me a little bit more about that. Let's say, so you do your regular direct to seller marketing, you find a property, then, I mean, these, I'm guessing, are single family houses that qualify for path to home ownership, correct?
Correct. So we do a lot of marketing. So we have both inbound and outbound. So our outbound stuff is very targeted. We have driving for dollars. So we're driving neighborhoods that we know are going to fit the model. We're taking pictures of properties that, you know, that need a little bit of love, and we're marketing to them both through direct mail, cold calling, and SMS. Now we also have some inbound stuff. We have some PPL. We've dabbled with Facebook ads. That hasn't been super successful, but we've dabbled in that. We're working on SEO. So for the inbound stuff, the stuff that fits our model, great. We close on it. We'll put it in their Pathway to Home Ownership program. But the properties that don't, even with the outbound stuff, some of them just won't work for the Pathway to Home Ownership program. we'll end up assigning them. So we'll get them under contract and then we market them to our end buyers, to our cash buyers.
So is your first exit choice the pathway to homeownership?
Yeah, that like, we look at every single property through that lens. And if it fits that model and we're able to put it in the program, that's our preference.
So just walk me through what a typical deal looks like and what is a good property that qualifies for pathway to home ownership and what's a property that would not be a good fit for that.
Yeah, so a good fit would be like a typical 3-bedroom, 1-bath or 3-bedroom, 2-bath, kind of a starter home, right? Purchase price around 100, 115, let's say. We don't do extravagant rehabs. We're not doing HGTV flips. We're just making sure all the systems are working, making the home nice. And so rehabs are going to be anywhere from 15K maybe to 30, 35, 40.
Okay.
And then exit is around 250. So the 250 or so ARV. We're trying to stay below 250 because that's where our end buyer pool, that's what they're able to afford. What we're trying to do is find properties that where the mortgage is going to be about what they would pay in rent, you know, not including taxes and insurance.
And how are you finding these parts? Let's say you have a property ready. So you're making these functional, move-in ready, you know, mm-hmm. not high-end finishes, but, you know, making them clean, functional, move-in ready. Then you go and how you have a pool of buyers that you're
We have after. A buyer pool. Yeah. So that's part of what, you know, my role is in the marketing department is bringing in buyers to build that buyer pool and really understanding what they're looking for, where they're looking for, what their price points are, what their monthly payments are that they can afford and all that stuff. We also try to get them pre-qualified through our, one of our companies is we do underwriting and loan servicing. And so even as they're in our buyer pool and waiting for a property that they like, we make sure that they're going to be able to afford a home and figure out what their monthly payment is that they can afford right. So that we know what kind of properties to put in front of them when we do get a new property in the pathway to home ownership program.
And how are you finding these buyers? Like through Craigslist, putting out some Craigslist and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, organic posts in like Facebook groups. We do Facebook ads. So, and it just like anytime, just like building up your cash buyer pool, anytime you have a deal, you put it out there and you put it in front of people, a lot of times that'll bring in new buyers. And so the same thing for the pathway to home ownership program, we get a deal, you know, we finish the rehab, we start marketing it. We're posting it in Facebook groups. We're doing some Facebook ads, organic posts, and then we have organic. So we have folks that are in the community that are going to events and networking and finding buyers that way.
Okay. So let's say if I'm one of your buyers, I come to you and I say, Ron, I'm interested in this property, right? So you would, of course, make sure that my income is like 2.5 or 3 times, you know, what the payment would be.
Correct.
And what sort of loan am I getting at that point?
So at that point, it's a 30-year fixed loan, a 30-year, right. It's a fixed rate interest rate, 30-year amortization. Yeah.
Okay. 30-year amortization. And then is there a balloon payment?
No, you could ride it out. And so the model for us ideally is not to put, because these loans are more expensive necessarily, right? Because we're bringing in private
interest rate right now.
It can vary between currently 11 to 12%.
Okay. So right? About 4 or 5% more than traditional conventional.
Correct. Rate. And look, even before interest rates started to skyrocket in 2022, we were charging 10%. So people were very happy to pay 10% because that was their only vehicle for being able to afford these homes. And ideally what we want to do is once people are in the program, help them build up their credit. So we report to the credit reporting bureaus. So that builds up their credit and that builds up that the history of making timely payments so that they can eventually refi us out. We don't want them to be in that 10 to 12% loan forever. Our target is to get them to refi us out within 2 to 3 years into a more traditional loan where they're closer to, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it is, you know, the prevailing rates are then.
Right.
And that brings us our money, that brings us capital back so we can go and do it again. Our goal is to help as many families as we possibly can.
And then you're using private money on the back end?
We are. So we're purchasing the properties. A lot of times we'll purchase the property with hard money and rehab it with hard money. Then we'll bring in a private money lender to refi the hard money lender out, and the hard money, the private money lender stays in the deal as we sell it to an owner finance buyer. So we wrap the note.
Okay.
And we sell it on contract for deed. So we're holding on to title until the end buyer pays off the mortgage entirely.
So for the private money lender, are they just making the difference in the, are they just making money on the interest rate, or do they, you know,
get money on the interest rate? Yes. So, okay. So basically it's passive income, right? It's people that, you know, want somewhere to put their money that's not in like a savings account or a CD and make much, much better rates. They want that monthly cash flow. They're, you know, some people either use it as diversification from the stock market, or they use it instead of the stock market because it could be really rocky.
Right.
And they just get, and we make monthly interest payments. And so people, you know, our investors tend to love that. They're just getting that mailbox money every single month right in their account.
Do you mind sharing how much are you paying your private money lenders?
It'll vary. It'll vary based on, you know, the loan amount, and we negotiate individually with each lender. So we'll pay a little bit higher interest rate if you're lending more and for a longer duration. Ideally, our notes are 3 to 5 years, but okay, some people are only willing to lend for 12 months or 24.
So let's say if a private money lender comes in, you know, minimum you guys would want them for 1 year, but then when you're lending this money out to your borrower, to your buyer, you're doing a 30-year fix. Let's say if it takes that buyer 5 to 7 years to get their, you know, for you guys to cash out, what happens on their private money lender?
We refi them out. We find another lender to bring in, or we'll use our own cash to get them out of the deal.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. And then, but your goal is to eventually like get to your buyer to build up the credit in 2 to 3 years, so they can, you know, you guys can cash out.
So,
and then,
so that's one exit strategy. The other exit strategy for the note is, because we use a third party servicer, after 12 months, that note is seasoned. So now the note itself is marketable, and we can get anywhere between 95 to 100% of the face value. We can sell that note, and that refis us and the private money lender out, and we get the cash back to go do it again. So that's another exit strategy for the note itself.
Fantastic, man. I'm curious, how did you guys get started in this? You know, where did this goal of doing 500 deals by the end of 2026 come from?
Yeah, this goes to Vaughn's origin story. So Vaughn Bethel is the CEO of the company, right? He's the one that brought me in. He's my coach. And he originally started as a wholesaler. He came from the fitness industry. He ran a, you know, successful gym, and, you know, gym and like fitness consulting business and so on. He wanted to move away from that. So he moved into real estate, became a wholesaler, and then decided to build out a company that he could put people around him, so he doesn't have to be in the day-to-day forever. Right. Along the way, he realized that some of the deals that he was marketing, that he was selling, people were asking, will you finance? Will you finance? And he realized that there was a lot of demand for owner finance. And that, so that was kind of the light bulb moment. And, the thing with the, you know, the pathway to home ownership and, you know, kind of going bigger with that vision is Vaughn tried to find a reason to get his team really excited to get up in the morning to go and do their jobs and to work really hard and to be successful. And that wasn't just going to be like, let me get up today and make Vaughn a bunch of money. And so that was when he spent a lot of time figuring out what the purpose, cause, and passion would be for that company. And that's when he came up with the whole pathway to home ownership program and the goal of 500. And that goal was originally by the end of 2030. So we've recently, about 6 months ago, moved it up to, we said, well, Vaughn said, let's 10X this thing. Let's do it by the end of 2026. So that gives us 3 years. We're less than 3 years now. We're in February of 24. And then after we hit that 500, we can go for 5,000.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's not, you know, bumping the goal up by like 3 or 6 months. It's like you guys got, you know, half the time out of the goal pretty much.
Basically. But what's cool about that, but you know, I don't know if you've ever read it, and I haven't, but the book 10X is easier than 2X.
I just finished it.
Yeah. I still need to read it. But the main idea there is, when you're going to 10X, it really narrows the kind of it narrows your options of what it would it take does, to yeah. do those things. There's a million different ways to 2x your business. There's probably only one or two ways to 10x. Yeah. And so it really narrows your focus.
100%, 100%. Let's say in a practical scenario, I don't know if you run across this, but I would imagine you do. Let's say you get a deal under contract for 100, 115, right? It's worth about 250 once you fix it up and you're going to do, you know, sell it to a cash, I mean, sell it to a buyer with distressed credit. Let's say if I'm a local investor in your market and I come to you and I say, hey, Ron, I like this deal. I'm going to pay you 150 and you could make 50 right now. How do you handle that situation?
I mean, it's case by case, but most likely we'll take that. we'll okay. sell it, take the 50, because, you know, that's going to replenish the coffers. We can pump that back into marketing. You know, that gets our employees paid a little bit faster, and then we can go and do more. Right. So it's always a case by case scenario.
So when you get a property under contract, are you even marketing it to your cash buyers, or you're like, hey, this is just the perfect property for pathway to home ownership? Let's not even send it out to a cash buyer.
It really depends. It's always case by case. So, and we look at a bunch of different factors. One of the factors can be, what is our current private money pipeline looking like, right? You know, and if that pipeline is full, then we might say, well, this is going to be a pathway to home ownership property. We're not even going to market it to cash buyers. If it's not so full, what we've done sometimes is first market it for cash to see if a flipper or landlord wants it. And then if we don't get any bites at the price that we need to, like to make the spread that we want, we say, okay, well, let's close on it. We have an entity structure where we have a separate company for the pathway to home ownership. It's Creative Finance Company. So we'll pay an assignment fee to the acquisition company that refills the coffers. It gets our acquisition agents paid. It puts money back into marketing, right? And then we'll close on it and do the rehab and then market it on owner finance.
Okay.
So it's always case by case. We have to be pretty nimble in this business because, there's a lot of stuff going on.
So your acquisition team is getting paid on when you're moving property from one entity to another, that's when they get paid. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they get paid when property is closed. We recently, and I got to confirm with, our COO exactly what it looks like today, but I believe we recently switched it so that if we close on a property to take it to the pathway to home ownership, they have the potential, or they have the ability to see additional upside from that, not just the assignment fee that we pay internally for it. And so we're looking for ways to, when we're able to recognize more revenue, we're able to get them paid a little bit more as well.
That makes sense. Yeah. And then, so your goal is to do 500 deals in like next, 2.5, 3 years, roughly.
Well, 500 pathway to home ownership deals, right? So we need to be really specific. That'll probably look like about 1,000 deals between now and the end of 2026 for that to happen, because a lot of these are assignments.
Okay. So half of your deals would be pathway to home ownership. The other half would be traditional wholesaling.
I'm just making up a number. I don't know exactly what it'll look like. And the way that we're going to reach that 500 is probably not going to be all internally doing our own deals.
Right.
Like I foresee the potential of bringing on partners that want to use the same model that are going to be aligned with
wholesalers in the area.
Other wholesalers in other markets, potentially even in our market, that are going to be aligned with our values, believe in our purpose, cause, and passion, and are doing it for the right reasons. Because there's people that do the owner finance model not the right way and not for the right reasons. You hear about people saying, they sell properties on owner finance to people that can't afford it. And they're like, okay, well, if they default, I'll just take the property and do it again. So that's not us. And we would want to make sure anyone we partner with is not going to do that. But we have really nice infrastructure that we're building. So we have a separate underwriting and loan servicing company, and that's going to enable us to bring on partners that need, an underwriting capability to make sure that they're also Dodd-Frank compliant. Anyone who's doing this model that's doing 3 or more properties per year is subject to Dodd-Frank. So, we're compliant, and we would encourage anyone else that's doing it, that volume, to be compliant. And we have a way to do that. Yeah. as well as we have the loan servicing company that we can help partners service their notes so that they can also eventually go and sell them eventually if that, you know, as another exit strategy. So we're building up the entire foundation to enable us to do this rapid scaling. And it's probably not going to be all 500 directly by us in, internally.
Yeah. What do you, and what, how many markets are you planning to do this in?
Well, we want to go regional. Right now, we're just in the upstate and Midlands of South Carolina. But we want to go regional first. So like North Carolina, Florida, Tennessee, what we're thinking. Once we really lay the foundation, are able to drive this a little bit faster. And we're thinking eventually of going national with it if it works.
Yeah, that makes sense. What do you see as your biggest challenge in getting to this goal?
More private money. So more capital. Now what we're doing about that is, you know, we have some marketing initiatives right now to build up some new funnels, fill those funnels with private investors. And we're also working on putting a fund together so that we can pool money and be able to pre-raise a lot of the capital so that we can do more deals faster, right? We can jump on opportunities and also give people a way to, so private lender, you know, sometimes we get questions about, well, what happens if something goes bad with this property or that, you know, the property they're investing in, but in a fund, the fund, we're debating exactly how to structure it, but effectively the fund would be funding multiple properties and therefore risk is spread across multiple deals. And that gives you diversification and additional security there. And so we're thinking that that fund, once it's established, and we're probably maybe 2 to 3 months away from that, will help us raise much more quickly.
Right. Once you have a fund established, then everybody's getting the same interest rate and then they can, you know, put their money in and take out as they will.
So it won't be the same interest rate necessarily for everybody. The way we'll probably structure it is based on the level of investment. They'll get a different interest rate, right? So if you're coming in with 50K, it's this. If you're coming in with 100, it's that. If it's 250 or more, it's something else. So, right. So we want to incentivize investors to bring more money. As far as how long they leave the money in, there will be kind of a lockout period, and we're debating on the exact duration of that. We'll have an ability to, you know, pull money out, but probably with a penalty, right? Because we need the ability to make decisions about buying properties and selling them, and know that the capital that we need to have will be there, right? That's the whole point of the fund in the first place. So we want to bring on investors that want to park their money for a good duration and are going to be happy with these interest rates.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But you guys don't see any challenge on the acquisition side, like actually getting...
Oh, it's, come on. The challenge is everywhere. Acquisitions, right. Dispositions, you know the business, Sharad. Right. So it's always a challenge, right? You know, what marketing channel is working now? What was working yesterday?
Right.
You know, we always need to drive more leads. It's a constant challenge.
Yeah. No, but you know, I have to say, Ron, I love the mindset of 10X. I read the book. We're doing the same thing. It's so true what you said, that if you want to 2X your business, there's probably like 100 different ways you can do that. Yep. But if you want to 10X your business, there's probably one or two ways that you can actually get to 10X. And it just gets you so focused on what you need to do that everything else is just purely a distraction. So yeah,
absolutely.
Good luck on that, man.
Thank you.
That sounds very exciting. How motivated do you feel as part of the company to like get up every day, you know, and then just trying to get to the goal of 500?
Oh, extremely. It's the reason I'm doing it, right? Like I have two separate flipping businesses and it's not one or two deals. I have 12 projects in flight right now. Right. So, I mean, I kind of don't need to do this director of marketing role. I'm doing it because of the purpose, cause, and passion behind it and the mission.
That's amazing, man. That just goes to show what an amazing group of people that Juan has, you know, put together in REI Junkies, that you guys just want to do that just because you feel truly deeply passionate about this goal.
Absolutely. And the team, you know, the collaboration and the energy and the core values are aligned. It's a really fun atmosphere working with the team as well. And so it's, you know, and, you know, people are making money. They're able to feed their families. That's the whole point. If we weren't doing that, then people wouldn't stay. So, but it's all those things together that helps us attract the right people and keep them long-term.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, when you have a goal that's bigger than any individual in the company, it just makes it so much more exciting. You know, it's not about you, it's just about the bigger mission, bigger purpose that you have that you're trying to get to. So
100%.
That's fantastic, man. Cool, man. This has been great. Moving on to our next segment. What do you do for fun? So you said you're in Long Island, New York.
Yeah.
Right. So what do you do for fun over there?
I like doing outdoor stuff. I like hiking. I'm interested in like survival skills. Last year I took a week out of my life to go on a wilderness survival course.
Oh, where did
out
you
in
go?
Utah. Yeah, it's
Oh,
called
nice.
The Boulder Outdoor Survival School. So it's out in the Utah mountains in like south central Utah. Middle of nowhere, minimal gear. No sleeping bag, no tent, you know, just a wool blanket and a knife and some clothing, and a compass, right? Very minimal stuff, and just learn survival skills and no contact with the outside world. Couldn't, you know, can't bring your phone, nothing. So couldn't communicate with anyone on the outside.
Oh, you couldn't go live on Instagram with what you
could
were
not
doing?
go live on Instagram from the mountains.
Oh,
I
that
wish I could.
sucks.
I did bring a GoPro, so I took some photos and videos and stuff that I brought back, but
it's amazing, man. How did you
that was
like
so
it?
much fun. Yeah, it was brilliant. It was life-changing. I mean, it was true survival situations. Like,
how big was the group?
It's a small group. So there were three instructors. So these are professional instructors that are highly, highly trained and have been doing this for years. And then the group itself, there were eight of us. So very small group. It was an amazing experience, an amazing opportunity to get to know on a really deep level, seven other humans, not including the instructors, and really bond. And it was truly difficult. Like we hiked up to, you know, close to 20 miles some of the days, you know, up steep mountains and hills, and with little water, very little food. We didn't eat the first 40 hours. So the severe calorie restriction. We got stuck with inclement weather. We got stuck in a thunderstorm at the top of a mountain, and we weren't sure if someone was going to get struck by lightning. It was really scary. But it was like an opportunity to truly test yourself and see what you're made of.
That's
And
amazing.
To
For a
really,
week.
and to, yeah.
Yeah. You're hunting your own food.
We didn't. So they have other courses where you're doing that, where they actually call it the hunter gatherer course.
Right.
That's the next one I want to do. I'm hoping to do that next year.
Right.
But for that one, they supplied the food, but it was very minimal. It's like maybe 800 calories a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very little.
Okay. I could probably, I mean, I turned vegan 4 years ago, so I was just wondering if I could do it. So if I can bring my own food, it might be something I would want to look into, especially like something where I can be just totally disconnected from the world. I think that it's just so important in this day and age.
Yeah, it was amazing. I've never done anything remotely like that. I mean, I did some my time in the military, but it wasn't so disconnected as this was.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to see some pictures, man. Yeah, I'll reach out to you about that. I think
Awesome.
That would be,
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a cool experience. All right, what's the one book that has had the most impact in your life? It could be personal, it could be business, it could be one of each.
That is hard to pick. So the book that I listened to that really kickstarted everything and got me on my path to go into real estate and become an entrepreneur was The 4-Hour Workweek. So I listened to that towards the end of 2020, I think it was. And it really opened my eyes to, you know, oh man, like I can start a business, build some sort of business that gives me freedom of time and financial freedom. And my life can look completely different. And that's what started my interest to learn more about real estate and got me thinking about leaving my career and doing that whole thing. So that would be the biggest, for me, the biggest catalyst for that.
Yeah, that's a great book, man. All right. Last question. If you could spend a day with anyone, dead or alive, who would you want to spend that day with and why?
Man, I should have been prepared for this. Do you ask that all your guests the same question?
Yeah, we do.
I should have watched your
yeah. I mean,
other episode.
It's more fun to get these on the spot answers, right?
Well, I'm definitely on the spot. One day with somebody dead or alive. That is really tough. This might be, I don't know if it's controversial. I know that the dude is controversial, but I've been you know, listening to a lot of his stuff lately, but that's Jordan Peterson.
Okay.
One of the clearest thinking, most logical people I've ever met, spiritual, and I guess he can somewhat call himself religious, but just an amazing, I guess, orator, debater, clear thinker, and stands on his values and says what he believes in spite of, you know, whatever backlash would happen. And spending a day with that guy would be.
Yeah, I've seen some of his stuff on YouTube. Very clear-minded.
Yeah.
Very clear-minded. Yeah, great answer, man. Cool, Ron. This has been fantastic, man. So someone listening to the show, if they want to connect with you, learn a little bit more about what you guys are doing, what's the best way to do that?
Absolutely. So for REI Junkies, we have a Facebook page. You just search REI Junkies on Facebook. You can find us on REIJunkies.com. For me personally, if you're interested in reaching out to me, or you want help getting into real estate or learning more about flipping, wholesaling, that kind of stuff, you can find me, Ron Angel, on Facebook. I'm not so active on Instagram, so don't bother. I won't see your message for a month and a half, but you can find me on LinkedIn as well. And Facebook is probably the best way. And
we'll make sure we put that in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm always looking for, you know, additional investors, private lenders for me personally, for my flips as well. And then definitely anyone who wants to learn more about the Pathway to Home Ownership program, potentially investing with us, or just learning more about the model and how we're helping rejuvenate communities and helping people realize the dream of home ownership, just reach out to us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ron. This has been really, really great. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.